You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're on.
It's a Lester Fiesta. Come and join the festival. It's a Lester Fiesta, and we're having fun. All you want is right here. Everything is at hand. Make your mind up and go.
Good evening and welcome to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. You've got me again presenting for the first few minutes, Ric Flair, and we've got a few more boys with us tonight. Jack's with us again, as always, staunch Big Strong Leicester boy, never misses one. Jordan's back from God knows where, stag do somewhere in a foreign country. And then I'm so excited for this, we have got the Midlands answer to Fabrizio Romano, the Holy Grail, John Percy. I can't believe it.
Good evening.
John, welcome.
That's quite a build-up, Rick.
Well, mate, I'm absolutely delighted that you're here. I mean it. I really am, because to us Leicester fans, you genuinely are like the one who we know we can hang our hats on. So thank you for coming on, pal.
No worries. Sort code details still the same, are they?
Yes, mate. Don't worry about it. It's
all right.
Well, I mean it. But how are you, pal?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good. Yeah. Just watching another VAR disaster on the Spurs. So you boys are ever so lucky to be out of that.
I think we are, aren't we? We were saying just before off air, I don't want to go back because of VAR. It's a total sham.
Well, hopefully if you do get back this season, next season they'll have either binned it or finally sorted it out, because it can't go on for much longer, can it? It's just a joke.
It is horrendous. It is indeed. John, thank you for coming on.
No worries.
I would say you and I go way back, but I think we've met once before on a night in Copenhagen.
One of the stag do nights in the Champions League, wasn't it?
It was. It was, I think Laurie introduced us in Copenhagen. It was a very good night the night before that. It's a great city. So thanks for coming on. I know I've put Rick on mute now because he's like an excitable child. But obviously you, in your role as, I want to get this right, you're Midlands correspondent for the Telegraph Sport, right? Is that the correct title?
Yeah, correct.
You're obviously inundated with Midlands clubs in the area, doing reasonably now and out well now with Forest and Villa in the Prem. But you still see you at Leicester press conferences, and you interviewed Connor Cody recently, so you're well up to speed with the club. I guess sort of as an outsider looking in, what have you made of it thus far this season?
Well, I mean, first of all, you do go there, and I still, when I go to the training ground now, there is a sort of feeling of how has it got to this? I mean, you speak to some staff and they're still getting their heads around it now. Just shows that you can never stand still in the Premier League. I think it still took people by surprise. You know, obviously the training ground, as we know, is ridiculously brilliant. And obviously they've fallen into where they didn't want to be. But I mean, obviously now the mood's transformed. I mean, there was a lot of, last season was horrible, wasn't it? I mean, the 18 months before that were horrible. But this is just a complete turnaround. The manager's obviously had a tremendous effect. The squad's gone under a lot of changes. I think they brought a lot of good new players in. I mean, the signings last season and the year before were bang average. We can obviously say this summer they got it right. I mean, you know, credit where credit's due. We have to say the recruitment's been very, very good. I mean, Connor Cody, Harry Winks, I mean, those two to start with. I mean, that was a massive statement of intent. And obviously, I think they brought another seven in, really good, you know, attacking players, defensive players, loan players. I think they've got it right. So, I mean, the mood is transformed. But I still think there's that vibe of, what are we doing here? How did this happen to us? It's still sort of like stuns people that it got to this point, I think.
JP, thanks for coming on.
No worries, mate.
Yeah, you touched on it there. If you stand still in the Premier League, you can see what happens. And we've been debating, well, we've stopped this year, but obviously for 8 months last year, we kind of thought the writing might be on the wall. Obviously, I wouldn't say a staunch Rodgers fan, because I think he deserves a lot of the blame. But me and Jack mainly were debating in terms of the board that they didn't back him, particularly after that Forest defeat in the FA Cup. So I just wondered, I mean, obviously there's not one sole contributor, but where did you think the fault or the blame was? Or do you think it was just a combination of several different things going wrong?
I think it was a combination of lots of things, but I think you're right to point out the Forest game, because obviously Brendan came out after the game and was so strong on the fact that everything needs to be changed. And then obviously he's having to go back to those players in the summer. I mean, we've all been here before. We expected the refresh. It never came. I mean, there's so much uncertainty over whether he knew there was no money. I mean, we were getting the vibe towards the end of that season that there wasn't going to be much money to spend in the summer. Brendan obviously knew that as well. But whether it was the extent of the fact that there was nothing, maybe that was the bit that changed. Because obviously Brendan was expecting to get at least three or four players in. And most importantly, and this is the thing people always forget, is it was players out that was going to be the big thing as well. Like Sumare, you know, he's obviously gone away now, but they wanted him gone. They wanted a load of other players gone, you know, that weren't working out. Vestergaard, example, you know, another one. I mean, obviously, we'll cut back onto him later. I mean, a massive turnaround for him. But it was also players moving out. And obviously, to get the players out, your Perez's and everyone, you get money to come in. But obviously, that never happened. So Brendan's, I feel for him, because he did have to go back to these players then. But obviously, you know, we went back to that season last season, and you could just tell everything had changed. Brendan had lost his mojo. The club were on eggshells around him, around press conferences. You know, what was he going to say next? And it just had that vibe of, I mean, we'd all, you know, covering the club every week. You guys go every week. But the season before, obviously, you're picking up on it. I mean, I remember the game at Burnley at home, was it? 2-2, I think it was. And they got booed off. Brendan was furious about that. The club weren't happy at all. But that was when you could sort of see, this isn't getting, the football wasn't very good to watch. It was a game, led your Warsaw away. Obviously, Fofana's injury, massive. You know, you've got to give your sympathy for Brendan on that, because obviously the whole game was designed around Johnny Evans and Fofana and that high line. And then obviously I remember that game in Warsaw, Vestergaard having to play a game he wasn't, you know, a style of play he wasn't comfortable with. And obviously now he's playing a style of play he is comfortable with. But so it's all the culmination of things. Obviously the contracts, I mean, I know obviously people can look at the players and say you should have professional pride, but when you've got that uncertainty of your contract running out, and remember, there was a lot of players with 18 months left or a year left. You know, they're just as much in the same boat of where are we going? And it's that sort of, you know, there was that sort of really awful sort of feeling that where's this going here? And obviously the recruitment the year before, they spent Sumare, Daka, Vestergaard. The club obviously thought we can't afford to bring in more players, we haven't got the headroom for FFP. And if you look at Wolves, for example, they've done exactly what Leicester did the year before, but obviously probably on a more dramatic level. They managed to get rid of the players that Leicester couldn't. And obviously, you know, I know Leicester have had a lot of criticism, but we have to say these FFP rules or profit and sustainability. They are really serious. I mean, this Everton thing, Man City thing, there may be more. You have to say Leicester, they saw this coming and they've done it to safeguard the club. So you have to give them credit for that. Likewise with Wolves. It may hurt at the time, but, you know, they've done it for a reason. And obviously now they should be in a good place. But obviously tough decisions had to be made. It's the old short-term gain thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so on that, John, I was actually going to ask a question about, well, it was sort of two questions in one. The club's come in for a fair bit of criticism in the last year or two. Obviously, relegation has aggravated that. But, you know, I think because of the sort of messaging around we needed to sell to buy the summer before we went down, but then, you know, it was quite conflicting because we seemingly were rejecting bids for players. Mm. Now, okay, they were obviously under what we may have valued players, but do you think, have you heard out there, were we asking for unreasonable prices for players that we evidently wanted to move on? I mean, it's fair enough asking for 70, 80 mil for Fofana, but if you've got players you actively want to move on, and Brendan said he wanted them out, if you're then asking for more money, you're just creating an environment that you're getting the worst of both worlds. And I think we suffered. And then my question on that is, do you think we learned this summer? Because although we came in for a bit of criticism not getting the money for Maddison and Barnes, we got it done early, whereas Southampton didn't and Leeds didn't. A lot of questions there. Pick through that, John. But, yeah, fascinated to hear what you
can say. Definitely the valuations were too high on Vestergaard. I think they agreed to him with Fulham. He turned it down. But I think that was even like the third, fourth bid. Perez, I think they had offers for as well. I think they had offers for players like Samari as well, players like that. I think there may have been an offer for Maddison that they turned down. I don't know who from, but that was the year before. But yeah, this season, they've obviously thought we just need to accept a suitable price. I mean, Maddison initially, I think they were asking sort of 50, 55, purely because of his statistics, the fact that he was an England international, all the sort of homegrown element of it. But I think they've obviously got down to 40 and thought, we need to do this. I mean, there is a suggestion that they did it before the financial year ended as well, which we've never had confirmed, but that wouldn't seem to make perfect sense. The Barnes deal, I mean, obviously, transfer fees have come down a bit this summer, so I think that was a decent price as well. But just to get them out the door and get their own recruitment going, I think, yeah, you'd have to say they've learned massive lessons there.
Yeah, Barnes was pure profit, wasn't he? Being an academy player, it possibly makes a little bit of difference. But thank you. I do have another question. I'll come straight in with it. As I said when I introduced you, you have become the mouthpiece for Leicester fans, and I don't really recall you ever really coming out with a transfer that's not happened, which must be nigh on impossible to do. But you somehow do it. I remember this summer, you know, you and I think your colleague Mike McGrath said quite early on that Cassidy was lined up to sign, and I was getting a bit angsty because he's a player that I really rated. So far, he's not done a lot. But, you know, you were like, you kept every few weeks saying that it was going to happen, and eventually it did. So, you know, how does it work? Like, you've obviously got to hang your hat on it, but how do you do it?
You've just got to trust the people you speak to. I mean, I know it sounds incredibly simple, but you've just got to, the information you get, you've got to filter out the people who you think are telling you the truth and those who aren't. And I've been doing this for 24 years now. And believe me, when I started off, I got all sorts wrong. You know, these people saying, you know, James Maddison's off to Barcelona, and you think, oh, right, brilliant. And you naively write it, but you've just got to get to a stage where the people you speak to, you know, are going to tell you the truth, or, you know, at least lead you down the right path. I mean, Cassidy, we were hearing that was lined up weeks ago. It was obviously a case of Chelsea agreeing it and all that sort of thing. I mean, obviously, you're thinking, will it go through? But I think he went away with pre-season with them, so that delayed it a bit. But you've just got to trust the people you speak to, and it's just, it's a big one really, because if you put it out there and it gets wrong, you're not going to, you switch your phone off all weekend, don't you? It's simple as that.
You've got the knack, mate.
Right, it's sometimes it's bad when the selling players go somewhere else. Oh God, that's a nightmare.
Yeah, but speaking of players that we've signed, you wrote a piece on Cody, I think it was last week or maybe the week before. Obviously, comes across as a really impressive bloke. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed reading it. But I just, he just seems so sort of enthusiastic about football in general, about the club. What was it like to spend time with him?
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly what you see. He's 100 words a minute. He's so enthusiastic. He loves football. He could talk about it all day. But the interesting thing was, he actually admitted, I mean, obviously for space restrictions, we couldn't include everything he said, but he actually admitted that the club said to him when they signed him, we didn't have players like you last season. You know, there's no point in glossing it over. We didn't have players like you. We need you to come in. We need you to come into the dressing room. We need you to speak, shout, push people. So once again, we've gone back to the club maybe realising they did go wrong there. They didn't have enough leaders. They didn't have enough experience. Connor Cody is absolutely 100% that player. I mean, he'd obviously want to be playing more than he already is. But even if he plays only another 10 games, I think he's just absolutely vital on and off the pitch. I remember someone said at the time of the summer, it'll be one of the biggest championship signings of the season. I think he still will be. You know, even if he sticks with Yannick and Vout for the rest of the season, I mean, he'll still do his job. He'll still be worth his while in gold. You know, he's just a perfect player absent, you know, last season. You know, whether they've stayed up with him, I'm not going to say he'd have kept them up, but that they were sorely missing that sort of character, that sort of player will give someone a rollicking, you know.
I think that statement sums up my thoughts on Johnny Evans as captain entirely, to be honest. Try and be a bit more positive from my last question anyway. Do you think, in a perverse way, that getting relegated might have been a bit of a blessing in disguise? And, I mean, we should go up at a cakewalk, to be honest, but what should the ambitions be next season? Because you see the three sides that have come up and they are nowhere near the standard of the Premier. Yeah. You know, you do worry that the way Maresca plays, that might be similar to Burnley, for example.
Mm. Well, I would like to think that I've obviously got all that years of experience in the Premier League. And I would think if they came up, they'd know where to strengthen. I think they'd know, obviously, from last season that they can't stand still. They can't just not rely on the squad they've got now. They'd have to bring in proper Premier League players. But, I mean, just going back to the thing about Leicester being relegated, I always remember when Stoke got relegated all that time ago, speaking to their chairman, and he said, to be honest, we're looking forward to the Championship. It's new stadiums and everything. And, you know, we go away, we might win two games away all at home. We go to Old Trafford, we get beat 5-0. You know, we're looking to win six games at home to stay up, and it's not fun anymore. And I was just thinking the other week, actually, it's totally different for Leicester, because while you're obviously having the time of your lives going to all these new stadiums and you haven't got VAR, Leicester would win at Man United last season. You know, that was in their gift. You know, they were capable of doing that. That's why it was just such a travesty that they went down, because Leicester weren't this sort of team who were flirting, you know, 17th every season. They, you know, they go to Liverpool, get a draw. They go to United and play well and get, you know, three points. You know, so they've just got to have learned. We'd never know if there was a real big inquest, but you'd have to assume by the way they've strengthened the team that there was a realisation where they went wrong. And I would like to think if they do go back up, which obviously, fingers crossed, they do, they will go again. And obviously, because remember 3 years ago, they were the Brighton. They were the Southampton of 5-7 years ago. You know, the beacon for recruitment, the beacon for a well-run club, perfect training ground. There's no reason why Leicester can't go back to that in 3 years' time if they get it right.
And just when you speak about getting it right, we've not really spoken that much about Maresca, but obviously, I mean, defeat against Leeds aside, doing a phenomenal job. He's very direct in the way he talks, particularly to the press, which is always quite interesting. But what have you made of him and his start?
I think it's just been brilliant. I mean, the style of football is just so fresh and unique. All the players are on board with it. It's a complete turnaround, and it's a gamble, let's be honest. You know, to play that style of football in a league where so many managers get the sack, you know, the top can beat bottom, bottom can beat top from 1 week to the next. To take that gamble and play that style of football that's so unique and front-footed, and you know, it takes time, doesn't it? They've obviously spent pre-season really well with that week in the training ground, you know, the way that he's instilled his style and philosophy. When I first saw him at his first press conference, you could tell he was a bit cautious, a bit sort of wary of, you know, what journalists, the questions, a bit wary of maybe they're trying to lead me down this path. But the last time I saw him, he was far more relaxed. He's obviously getting his head round that, you know, we're all trying to support him, we're not out to get him. But I mean, the style of football, it's just brilliant, isn't it? And obviously, going back to the Leeds game, that's obviously a bit of a bump in the road. But I look at Daniel Farke, his record in the Championship is outstanding. And obviously, if Maresca can get anything like Farker's record in the Championship, it'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
I've got one for you, John. It's more going back to the title-winning season. What was it like covering Leicester during that? I mean, it's probably obvious what you're going to say, but I'm fascinated to hear from. I know you're not a Leicester fan, but you've probably got a soft spot for us with covers for years. Oh, but yeah, what was it like?
It was unbelievable. It will be the best season of me reporting that I'll ever have. I mean, it was just an absolute juggernaut of momentum, you know. And obviously, it went from the Great Escape, just transferred into the season after. And it just got to about December time. I mean, I think everyone latched on really with the sort of Man City away game, you know, the 3-1 or whatever it was. And I think a few weeks before that, there was a few of us, Laurie, who Jack's mentioned, Stuart James, who's now at The Athletic. We were just looking at each other and we were saying, there's something going on here because they just don't know how to lose. And the players were just at the absolute peak of their powers. It was one of those moments in time that you'll probably never have again where the team was just so well drilled, so well put together and so matched to each other. That you'll probably never have it again. And it was just brilliant to report on. It was just Ranieri was obviously, you know, he was a character, wasn't he? He's just come out with something different every week. And I know we can all go into, was Ranieri just sort of carrying it on from Nigel? And yeah, I get that. But he was still the way he was in the dressing room and in press conferences. That was obviously transferring to the players and calming them down and everything. But yeah, I mean, it was just a brilliant, brilliant time. And for the Midlands, you know, as I'm a Midlands lad, it was great for me because obviously I'm always seeing the Big Six sort of dominance, you know, the London sort of focus. And it was just great to see little old Leicester, you know, little old Wolves or whatever, just little old Leicester doing this, just absolutely upsetting the odds every week. And everyone else finally coming into line and thinking, actually, Leicester aren't too bad, are you? And we were like, we're telling you this for months, lads, you know. So it was great. And then obviously the Champions League extended stag do the season after. Memories for life, mate.
Did the club throw any, did they throw the journalists any little parties to celebrate or anything? Were there many perks that season?
No, I mean, we obviously had the Bocelli. I mean, we were, that was just incredible. I mean, to say that Leicester never dealt with anything like that before, you have to take your hats off to them. I mean, for them to handle an event of that magnitude so well, you know, from being in the Championship only a few years before, I mean, I still look at some of it on YouTube and think, you know, it seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? Unreal, yeah. Yeah. And Ranieri stood next to him. You know, we're basically watching an opera singer free of charge. You know, it's just unbelievable. So, I mean, that was just an incredible season and great times for someone doing the job as well.
John, I was pitch side for that. Sorry, Jack. I was pitch side for that. I was in tears.
So was I, George. It's the first time I met you.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
And I still think that was the best day of my life. My dad's behind me. I'm sure he won't mind me admitting that he starts crying whenever it's on YouTube. But it still feels like it never happened.
I know. I remember journalists sat with me, you know, wiping tears away. He just could not fail to be moved by it. It was just an incredible, incredible day. And then obviously, I think it was Everton they played, wasn't it? And then they won that game. It was just an amazing afternoon. The fireworks, you know, the lights and everything, and the flags. You know, you'll never forget any of that. If you're a Leicester fan, I mean, it never gets any better than that, does it? But then you have the FA Cup win. I mean, you know, you've got to look at these last few years. I mean, last year, horrible year that it was. You've not done badly, lads, have you?
No, we haven't. And I keep thinking back to that now, because obviously, and I don't want to sound too embittered when I ask this question. This is probably the last one we'll have for you. But if you look at what we've achieved over the last, five, 6 years, and you see some of the sides that are talked up, like one comment that particularly rattled me was Villa, you know, doing a Leicester or whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean on that one, because Leicester, I mean, Villa, I know you're not a massive fan of Villa, Jack, but you have to take you out. So that last 12 months have been remarkable.
They've been brilliant, but they've not been as good as us at our peak.
The Leicester winning the league, you know, it's not on that level at all. I mean, Leicester, Rui Amari's 450 grand, Jamie Vardy 1 million, you know, I mean, even Kante 5 million or so. It's just ridiculous. That it's just completely unique. I mean, I was even drawing the comparisons with the Forest European Cup things. I was thinking then, it's just not the same thing. It's just a completely unique success and an achievement.
And I would even say our two seasons where we finished fifth and you could argue we should have finished fourth, but you know, if Villa go now and finish fifth and win a trophy, that'll be heralded as, you know, one of the
brilliant
great achievements. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes, given the ride that we've had.
And the other thing that annoys me, and this is where, you know, as a Midlands reporter, you get annoyed, it's when they say, oh, Man United and Spurs and Chelsea, they were poor that year, they'll never be that bad again. Don't try and knock Leicester for winning the league. They lost three games that season, bloody hell.
I was thinking that, because Villa have now lost three games this season. We lost to Villa, Liverpool twice.
And Arsenal, yeah.
And Arsenal once in the last minute. It was Arsenal twice and Liverpool once. Yeah, you're right. And we lost in the last minute. I mean, that's not to lose that many games in the season.
I mean, that you can't downsize that achievement. I mean, that's frustrating me over the years that people have tried to, you know, say, oh, Chelsea were poor that year. Man City bought badly. You know, come on.
Yeah. Completely agree. Any more John. Chats for John? Here we go. One more from Rick.
No, I just want to, John, I want to compliment you on your knowledge, right? You have just, honestly, I'm a stats man. You've not got a single thing wrong, not a single result. You've just corrected Jack on the... You're unbelievable, mate. You might as well support Leicester. In fact, I'm having you as a Leicester fan now, so done. Bye.
Rick, do you know the reason for that, Rick?
Why?
That's what happens when you don't have 10 pints before a game like you, mate.
Right, mate.
Superb. John, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Good to see you, chaps.
We'll let you go and enjoy the rest of the Chelsea Spurs game. So,
all the best for the rest of the season.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, John.
Cheers, John. Yeah.
There we go. Rick, is that just fulfilled, like, I would say a childhood dream, but sort of like an adulthood dream for you?
I mean, I'm so impressed with his knowledge. Obviously, he's a man who does his research, because his articles are always top work and he gets everything pretty much correct. But I was astonished there. He didn't get a single thing. You know, I mean, we get things wrong, don't we, where we forget goal scorers or results or... He's remembered it all, and he's covering not just Leicester. So, yeah, class act.
Top man. Lovely man. Right.
Do you think it's too soon, Jack, to call him friend of the show?
I did want to ask him. Maybe I'd drop him a note and just, can I describe you as friend of the show? Because I'd like to expand our friends of the show, because I feel like we've had people on here, but we've not referred back to them subsequently. And I was a bit like, what do we call them? But yeah, I would like to do that, George. Maybe that can be arranged.
Well, yeah, in a couple of WhatsApp groups I'm in, the description, we have lists. We could perhaps have lists of friends of the show.
Yeah, indeed. Right. We're in a bit of a random order this evening, because we've got not one, but two guests coming on. So I'm going to play some theme music, and then I'm going to add a little context to it after. I don't even know what I'm saying now. Right. Theme music.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who
Lloyd, how are you, pal?
How's it going, bud? You all right?
Yeah, you.
Evening, Jack.
So,
evening.
Not
evening,
Lloyd. Thanks for coming on, mate.
No, you
so,
right,
Lloyd,
mate.
Lloyd is he's going to be our guest for Who Are You, as you probably guessed. But look, yeah, Lloyd's an avid listener of the show. Probably shakes his head at half the muck that we talk about. But what I wanted to say about Lloyd is me and Lloyd have got a bit of a claim to fame. So can you remember the first game back in the Premier League against Everton and that shot that Jeffrey Schlupp hit over the bar? Me and Lloyd, it pretty much killed us because I just moved back from London and I got a season ticket that season, that first game. We're in the boozer before the game and I meet Lloyd, I'd not seen for a while. And it turned out that we got season tickets next to each other, right behind the goal. And Jeffrey Schlupp's leathered a Scud missile at us. And it was welcome to the Premier League, boys. So,
remember it well, mate.
You remember, pal?
One of many good memories sat in there with you.
Well, yeah. And then 2 years later, celebrating.
Yeah, I can't remember that one. So I traded off that for the Jeffrey Schlupp good missile, evidently.
Lloyd, just so you are aware, Rick said, I've got a guest host earlier today and I had to interrogate him because I was like, yeah, Rick, I know you've got someone that can do it, but does he actually listen to the show? So I am pleased to hear you're an avid listener because I just thought
every week, mate,
drag someone in off the street.
Every week. So.
Top man.
Right.
Where are you?
You are aware how bad we've been.
I'm at work, mate. Yeah, I'm at work. It's
how are you?
7 minutes past one here. Yeah. So 8 hours behind you, chap. Yeah.
Where are you joining us from, Lloyd?
I'm in California, mate. Yeah,
terrible.
40 minutes north of San Francisco. So just on my lunch break. So I've made time for you. Just
thank you very much.
That's superb. That must be our most far flung guest ever.
You reckon?
Gotta be.
He's traded in Barwell for California.
Acclimatization. So
come on, let's do it.
What brought you to California? Sorry, Lloyd, I feel like I need more details here. Like, I mean, apart from, you know, Barwell, being as nice.
I ended up getting married to an American, mate.
Oh, man, well done.
So we had a little girl and moved over here because obviously California is slightly better than Inkley. So, I mean, I do miss bits and bobs about it. Leicester being one of them. But
so what time are you getting up to watch the games? That must be...
I mean, it's either 4 in the morning or 7 in the morning. And you've got Fox's Hub, which 1 week they'll take your money and it won't even be on, or ESPN Plus. So, I mean, the Swansea game, they took the money off us and it didn't come on. So I was searching for streams on that one. But I've managed to watch every game this year, pretty much. My nephew's a massive Coventry fan. And they were out here for the first game of the season, and he was full of it, saying they were going to beat us and all that sort of stuff. And for a while, it looked like he might be right, but I had the last laugh in the end. And obviously now they can't buy a win, so it's good to be me at the minute.
Good.
I'm giving him grief every week. So.
Good. I would say this is the longest intro to Who Are You we've ever had. I'm not sure it is. So yeah.
We've had some.
Right, Lloyd. The floor is yours.
Right. Are we ready, chaps? So the first clue is I was born on the 22nd of November, 1972.
51. I just like seeing you count, George. Like, people on the radio don't get that. Every week, I get you going 47, 48, mate, 49.
It's the only bit I get right.
No.
And I don't like maths either.
Yeah, no, okay, fair enough.
Casey Keller.
Wrong.
I was just going down the American route before.
Yeah.
Okay. He's also, he would be older than 51, wouldn't he, Casey Keller? I would assume.
Graham Fenton.
Not Graham Fenton.
I'm not going to have a guess this go. Next clue, please.
Okay, so he's a product of the LCFC youth system before going out on numerous loans, including Lincoln City and Kettering Town.
Stuart Wilson.
Wrong. He can't be 51.
Have you, Lloyd, no. You've checked the spreadsheet. We're not going to have one we've already had on our...
I've checked the spreadsheet.
Right,
mate.
Okay, good.
See him on there.
Oh, he's a very diligent man.
I was going to say Chris O'Grady. That's not a guess, by the way. But we've already had him.
We don't want any more false claims from Jack.
No.
This is going to be a bastard, this is. I've shot me bolts on this round, innit? I better keep quiet.
Graham Fenton's not even played for the academy.
I've not got one, unsurprisingly, for this round.
He stopped playing about 16 years ago. Sorry, I'm just going to do some air maths.
Julian Joachim?
Comrade Logan.
Both wrong.
Comrade won't be 50, will he? No, that's silly.
No, not yet. He looks it, but...
No.
Right, you ready for the next clue?
Yeah.
Go on, boy.
He made his debut versus Wolverhampton Wanderers in Leicester's first ever televised league game.
That's a great...
Russell Holt.
Great, great start.
Gosh, I got it. Ah,
he was eating a hot dog, weren't he, in the crowd? I'll never forget, it was on ITV or something. He was eating a hot dog in the crowd.
Was he playing?
Yeah, well, there was always. Yeah, he's called the hot dog kid because they had to get him on, didn't they? Weren't there a load of injuries?
Carl Muggleton got injured.
That was it.
To come on.
Didn't he have an incident wearing sort of his West Brom polo shirt that went viral?
That was one of my next clues.
I would have got it.
Yeah.
Oh.
If you look at his Wikipedia, either someone's edited it or he's been a very naughty boy, as Russell Holt.
So, oh, really?
I'll leave you to look for yourselves before I pollute the airwaves with some of his misdemeanors. He's a very bad man.
I'm guessing.
Hey, Lloyd, that was brilliant.
Oh no, he's gone a bit David Pleat, hasn't he?
He's a nightmare. What was that?
Oh,
George,
really?
I'm guessing Rick's checks in the post for that one, mate.
You know what? Me and him were speaking the other day, and I had another good one, but I couldn't use it because I asked him if
he can't use it.
Yeah, so maybe he'll fire that one up on his next go, but. I'd be interested to see if anyone gets the other one that I had in mind.
I need to get Percy to investigate Rick because academy goalkeeper couldn't be more up his street, could it?
there was no collusion in that. He's I don't know how he's got it after them clues, but fair play. He's pretty good.
That's a great.
I like the era you've chosen.
Yeah,
but that's because you're older than us.
So. That's what I mean. I couldn't really go any further back, but.
I'd say, what was that, 92? 93?
Yeah, that was 92, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the only time he played for us. He played 10 games in 92, 93. Then he went to Lincoln, Bolton, Lincoln again, Derby, Portsmouth, West Brom, Forest, Stoke, Notts County, Darlington and Hereford. And, Holt, a married man, has on a number of occasions been the subject of public revelations. And I'll leave it there.
Yeah.
It's on there.
Not my words, Lynn.
Not my words. The words of Wikipedia. It's just the commas around it. I mean, was that his ex-wife who wrote that? I don't know.
It's got to be made up, hasn't it? Some of them, the seaside postcard bit, got to be made up.
Well, hold on.
I can't wait to get on this.
the headline on BBC News. Goalkeeper arrested in something something blitz. Oh dear. Crikey. Well, there we go.
Let's be honest, if you had a mate like Rick, for example, and you had a Wikipedia page, can you imagine what would be on there? Oh. He'd be making all sorts of, wouldn't he?
No comment.
He still does. Your brother on our Instagram account, with the things he tags on there.
Ask Lloyd about my... Lloyd, tell these lot about Jim. He's a helmet, isn't he?
Is it Jim doing the main bit of the spamming, is it?
He's very engaged.
He's got a lot of time on his hands, as James.
He has.
So
upset an empty room.
Brilliant.
Right. So, thanks very much, Lloyd. No worries, appreciate buddy. That.
No worries.
Keep Cheers for that, pal.
I'll see you soon, mate.
Take care, mate.
Take care. Cheers, see you lads. Bye-bye.
See you soon.
See you, mate.
Right, I'm a bit stunned after reading Russell Holt's Wikipedia page, but rather than do that, should we talk about the Leeds game? Because we're 38 minutes in and we've not even referenced it yet. So yeah. I know you two have got some very considered thoughts about the games, but come on, hit me with them.
Rick's going to steal what I said immediately at full time because he's already put that in the group.
You go, mate, you do it.
Yeah, well, I thought we played absolutely fine. I thought we played worse this season and won. Obviously, we've played better this season and Leeds are... I think I've said probably all along that Leeds are... So,
did someone just put you on mute or did you just deliberately mute yourself?
I muted myself because Dad started sneezing during one of my brilliant points.
All right.
But I thought the game was pretty even, to be honest. And if it was a 0-0 or 1-1, you wouldn't get some of the nonsense that's spouted on Twitter, which is exactly why I'm not on it. The first sort of 10-15, they obviously pressed us high, had a bit of success with it. And then as soon as we started breaking the press, I think they looked a bit worried and started sitting off again. And then obviously if Fatu scores, I think we're talking about one of the greatest Leicester goals ever. What an absolute maverick he is. And if that goes in, you know, what we're like when we're in front, we could get two or three and Leeds would have to be a bit more open. And then second half, we didn't start very well at all, to be fair. But they get the goal from a corner. And my only complaint is get the first contact on the corner. But it's a fairly decent whip ball into the near post. Good header, good save. And it just falls to him and he puts it in and that's it. Like, that was the difference between two very good teams. And then Dewsbury all has a header at the end of the game. He did unbelievably to get that kind of contact on the ball. And Meslier is probably the best save he's ever made for Leeds United. I mean,
he always makes unbelievable saves against us. He did it again at the end of last season after being shocking. I don't get it.
I've not watched it back, but I remember thinking at the time, like, he was in the net. So God knows how he kept it out. And then I was chatting to a Leeds fan earlier and he said, look, that was the best save of the game. You know, people go on about, oh, it took us 90 minutes to have a shot on target. But when it's that quality, then it's unlucky that it didn't go in. So, I mean, I'm not bothered at all. We're only 11 points clear and you get, again, like you said, Jack, I mean, the difference between winning and losing in a game like that, the margins are so fine. And, you know, if you lose, it's a catastrophe. And if you win, you're going to win the league. I mean, that's kind of what social media has created. And I don't think Enzo would be too worried. And I fully expect us to bounce back like we did after we lost to Hull. And the two games we've lost by a goal to at home. It's going to happen again this season at some point. And that there were positives to take. I mean, I'll come on to some concerning points a little bit later on, but I thought Ricardo Pereira was the best player on the pitch by an absolute country mile. And I know Kamara got more of the match. He played very well, but he's one of them. Whoever wins, obviously the man of the match has got to be on their team. So, nothing to worry about at all. I think they're the two best sides in the league. I mean, I've not seen Ipswich play us yet. I've seen them a little bit, but judging by some of the games in the Premier League on Saturday afternoon, I think the standard in that game on Friday night was certainly a lot higher than some of the teams in the Prem. So no concerns whatsoever from me.
I'd funny enough, I had a message from a Wolves fan on Friday night or Saturday morning saying you and Leeds are better than about three or four sides in the Premier League. So that was good. Rick, now Jordan said what you were going to say. What do you want to add to that?
Well, no, I mean, Jordan has covered a lot of us. I've sort of flip-flopped a bit about the performance on Friday night. I've gone through being frustrated, a bit annoyed, then feel like we're a bit hard done by. Very much feel like it's like one of them scenarios where you feel like you're on a promise with a bird, you know, as the night's worn on, you've even gone and washed your bits and pieces in the bog, in the sink, and then next thing you know, you're woken up at home in your shoes with sick in your eyebrows. And, you know, I feel like at half time on Friday, I saw Graham Smith, and he was sat near me, and we were chatting at halftime. And I said, we've got Leeds right where we want them here, right where we want them. You know, first 15 minutes, we were vulnerable, but I felt like we had control of the game then. We weren't creating many chances, but Mavadidi and Fatawu were getting a lot of the ball. And, I mean, stats and expected this, that and the other can be misleading, but our expected assists for Friday were really high. And I think that's quite telling, because if you look at, you run through the extended highlights, Mavadidi and Fatawu.
What the hell is an expected assist?
Fuck okay. Me. No.
What on earth does that mean?
No. Let me explain, right? So just think about it from a game point of view. How many times did Mavadidi and Fatawu get in dangerous positions in the first half and then there was no one in the box? You know, there was a couple of times it bobbled through to Meslier where you're like, oh, you're almost off your seat waiting for the cross to be coming. It's bundled in. Castadai was not in the box. Vardy were God knows where. Dewsbury always behind the ball. So what that means is we'd created a chance where you're expecting to put the ball in and someone finish it.
So it's almost like a poor final ball as opposed to a shot that's not very good.
Well, it can be that, but it's not even poor final ball. It's just there was no one there to be on the end of it as well. And I feel like...
You learn something every day, don't you? Just being around you. I mean, it's...
Yeah, well...
Well, Rick, I was a bit worried about our excessive verticality IP today.
Mate, I was just about to come on to that.
That's one of the best.
A load of shit that is.
Saying that to my mate in the pub, actually. That's exactly what I said when I came off. We should probably refer to this because people have no idea what we're talking about. George, have you got the tweet in front of you?
Yeah, that's what I was doing on my phone. I was looking for it. So, Samuel Lap 1 underscore, who's clearly a visionary. Expect to see him on the touchline anytime soon. You can be angry about Nunes missing those chances, no problem. But transition control and excessive verticality IP were bigger issues today. That's exactly what Klopp would have been saying to him after the game.
No, the best thing is, though, someone, I think Macca's, is it Macca or I can't remember his name. He's quite funny on Twitter.
The Paris Angel.
Yeah, he's just retweeted it, or quote tweeted it, saying, yeah, I just said this to my mate in the pub.
What does it mean? Well, has anyone got a guess what that means?
Some sort of, don't know. I dread to think.
It's a load of rubbish, isn't it? Rick, back to a load of rubbish.
But anyway, I mean, I was pushing me luck with what I was saying. But what I meant was, and certainly in the first half, we were in control of the ball. Mavadidi and Fatawu were looking electric, and you know it was quite easy at that point to be quite positive that it was only a matter of time, come the second half, that we would get a chance, take it, and then it looked like it was going to be a game of few proper goal scoring chances. And that's why then coming back to, although we lost, we didn't get taken apart. Ricardo was exceptional, as George said. The last ditch defending, I've not seen a player do that as faultlessly for a long while. And I thought he had, he'd not been that impressive a couple of weeks ago, but you know, that is just
clear why he's head and shoulders above this standard, and it's a credit that we've got him. Fass had a good game as well in defending last-ditch tackle. So, all in all, we did okay. We didn't do enough to probably win. We may have had a shout at a draw, but we move on. Leeds didn't take us apart. They certainly didn't bully us, which is probably the title of this podcast this week. But, we move on. I think we definitely need a result Saturday, because don't want to be going into the international break having not won or at least get a draw, because then there will be hysteria. But, yeah, it was one of them.
It was one of them. Sorry, if you can hear me giggling in the background, it's because Jordan appears to be being attacked by a man in a dressing gown.
I mean, I
think it's your dad.
I'm sat next to the vodka and the beer fridge, so...
Right, okay.
It's my own fault.
Okay, so just as long as you're okay. Anything else you want to add to that, Rick?
Beans and little sausages.
Yeah, fair enough. I didn't think we were bullied, which was also another load of crap I've read on the internet this week. But I thought Leeds probably were marginally better than us, but it was a very close game, and I didn't. It could have been a draw, or they might. I think they did nick it, but I thought first 10-15 minutes we did look a bit surprised. First 10 minutes, sort of by the intensity of their pressing, which. I was saying to my mate as I left, would they not have prepared for that? But I think the biggest challenge was Leeds are a lot better than any other side we've played. So it's all very well and good winning loads of games, but a lot of games we've not really had to get out of second or third gear. So it was much more of a challenge in that sense. I'm actually quite intrigued by Rick's expected assist stat, because it did feel like we got Fatuhu and Mavadidi in really, really good positions. But then, you know, the only cross we got on the end of was Dewsbury Halls. And, you know, he didn't do a lot in the game, but he did do really well for that header. Just, I mean, he's about 5 foot nothing. So he did well to get on the end of it. And it's a tremendous save, isn't it? Mavadidi's put a ball over in the first half that, you know, Vardy, I don't know where he just doesn't go for those crosses anymore. I thought Vardy was really poor, flicking the ball about, giving it away all the time. Really didn't look very impressive. And, The biggest thing I wanted to talk about actually was, and I know Rick's big into this because it's a modern football term, but we don't seem to have that much intensity in our pressing. And I don't know whether that's because Vardy can't do it anymore because his legs are not there, so he's saving them. I mean, Dewsbury Hall can certainly do it, and they're the two that start the press. Iheanacho just can't for whatever reason. And I think that does affect us in games like that. And on Friday night, I came home and I just thought maybe it's time to play Daka, because he is genuinely very good at pressing, and that might have gone a bit stats wankery, but I do wonder whether up front as the season goes on whether Cannon can do that. I don't know. Cannon probably goes in ahead of Daka, doesn't he? But we do need a little bit more energy up front. I mean, I still think Kel as a sub is always. He wasn't very good on Friday night, but it's always a great option. But everyone knows how much I love Vardy, but he did look on Friday night like it was catching up with him, which is a bit of, you know, it was going to come anyway. But that was probably the most concerning bit for me. I mean, we'll talk about Cassidy's performance as well, but what he does up front, we've got players that can score goals, but I just think it's based around so much more than that. And the system seems to be so much more of a factor than anything else necessarily.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yeah, I thought Rick was going to take that. But yeah, I mean, I said in the chat on the side, we'll come on to a few negatives. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing Cannon, because it's no secret, I'm no fan of Iheanacho. And partly for that reason, he just doesn't where he doesn't do anything unless he scores. And Vardy was particularly poor. And I feel like Cannon, from what I'm told, is pretty dynamic. And I actually was told he was a bit like Nugent. So if I'm wrong, then put me in Rick's camp with Tete. But he sounds like he could be the perfect antidote up front to me. And I agree with what you said, actually, Jack, in WhatsApp, in terms of surely it's worth even giving Dakar a run out. But we think we know why that's not the case. So
he's come on now, though, hasn't he? He came on against Sunderland with a minute to go.
About 20 seconds.
So I was going to say, if it costs you like 5 million quid, you don't bring someone on with 2 minutes to go and play them on the wing, do you? It can't be a factor.
It's not worth 5 million quid.
No. So, I mean, maybe that's why they were so pleased they won. Fuck.
But yeah, I mean, well, Enzo said Cannon's not far away, didn't he? You see, he's back in training. And from what I can gather, you know, Preston fans were pretty impressed with him. Everton fans were pretty disappointed they let him go. And again, looking ahead to next season, I personally don't think Vardy or Iheanacho will be leading the line or will be the answer in the nine. So Cannon's got basically a 6-7 month audition of being a starting Premier League striker, if you like. So, yeah, I agree completely there with that, Jack.
Ricky, I
actually did want to talk about the strikers, because I think that whether it's the strikers themselves or the system that we play, obviously there's plenty of positives about the system. We're breaking records, but it does feel like the striker is the player suffering the most in this system. They're traditionally the best finisher, right? And yet they're not getting the most chances. And to me, it's all well and good, like, having a good amount of chances, but if it's falling to players that are more often than not going to miss them, we are putting ourselves in a position where you're going to have games where those players miss them all the time and then you don't score. Now, that hasn't happened that often. We've only not scored twice, but we've lost both of those games. Since this second return of the international break, both Vardy and Iheanacho, I don't think, have done a lot. Whereas after the first break from Southampton through to when we finish against Stoke, both Iheanacho and Vardy were much more involved, scoring goals. We're getting involved in games. And I was even complimenting Vardy on him dropping a bit deeper and linking play. Now, that's never been his forte, but he was seemingly doing it. He tried to do that on Friday and it was coming off all sorts of horrible angles and not working. So, I don't know. I'm hoping Cannon can come in and suit it a little bit better. But if not, I do think we need to perhaps tweak things, because it's a real waste if you're not got a striker that can score goals. And that probably brings us on nicely then to Cassidy, who, when he first arrived, he was getting in the box. He's, you know, aerially, he seems to be quite strong. And positionally, he was getting in the box. You know, he scored on his debut against Hull. He was all out trying. I don't know whether we were perhaps a little bit afraid of Leeds on the break, so we didn't want to commit too many players into the box. But, you know, as we've said, Mavididi and Fatal, we were getting it in dangerous positions. And Vardy was the only one in there and not in a dangerous position. Why either change it, get McAteer on, who positionally seems to be quite, like, that's a natural knack for him. We didn't bring him on. Brought Hamza on instead and pushed Ricardo forward, who, you know, was quite positive in that, but he wasn't getting in the box. So, yeah, I'm a little, that's my only real concern at the minute, is the striker and getting players in the box.
Can I say, I'm not going to have another chance to mention this, but Hamza on Somerville, what a tackle that was.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. Ball away. Give the ball away.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I can't remember that. I just remember the tackle after it. But
that's his game. Yeah, give the ball away and make a tackle, and that's his game.
Well, yeah, fine, whatever. It was a nice tackle, Jordan.
It was a good tackle.
Don't ruin it.
Beating himself up for a nice tackle, not wrong with that.
Yeah.
I'm being, you know, like, like you are sometimes, Rick, just throwing it out there just to get a bit of
data. Yeah, fine. Did he actually give the ball away? I thought it was someone else, but
he did, because I whinged about it, and then when he made a great tackle, I was still being in an arse, even though he got the ball back.
Fair enough. Yeah, sounds like what else do you want to talk about in the Leeds game?
I wanted to add Cassaday in there again, because I kind of stuck up for him the other week. I'm going to do exactly the same. But I think we forget he's only 20. You know, he played in a Reading side that obviously went down last season, and obviously are in a bit of a mess still. And I think we forget that, because he came on against Cardiff and was the hero in the last minute. And he set those standards. You know, he should have scored at QPR, I think it was. He probably should have a couple
Sunderland.
More goals.
He
should have a couple more goals to his name. But yeah, I agree, Rick, with what you're saying. It kind of needs to be like that Andy King role where you're arriving in the box late. And you know, there was another chance, I think, that fell to Cass and he missed it. But he's only 20. He's only played about 20 senior games. And, you know, Kamara and Ampadu are pretty experienced midfield. So I felt a bit sorry for him. He's a tidy player. You're not going to play for Inter and Chelsea take you for 20-odd million and not be a decent player. So I think we've got to give him a bit of a break.
But he's not ready for the Premier, is he? Like, you can tell they've paid a lot of money for him. And at this stage, you would have to question, it's not logical that he's going to go back there and make it in the Prem. But I mean, I was very excited when we were linked with him, as you had to suffer in the WhatsApp throughout the summer, waiting for John Percy to be right.
But a player wrong, never happened.
Well, no, because he's not that. You also shared similar quiet confidence. We've seen what he'd done in the under 20 World Cup.
He might. I still think he will.
I still think he can. There's something about his game that I like. I know he's getting criticised for a potential lack of pace, but I quite like the way he moves around the pitch. I think if we can get him in the right areas where he's dangerous, that's why. Why is he not getting in the box? Maybe the Leeds game was not the game for that, because they're, you know, on the break, they're then going to hammer us. But hopefully, you know, well, he'll play Saturday because Ndidi's out, but after that, we're going to have players back.
Well, he might not do, because
maybe not.
Pratt's emerged onto the training pitch again, because you forget how many players were missing in that position.
Pratt's not going to be ready yet, surely.
Well, he might not be ready yet, but I think Pratt in this system will be outrageous. That's my weird.
He's got to make sure he gets out of bed safely first.
Well, yeah, if he's not injured, I think he'll be very good in this system. And he was very good when he came on against Coventry, which is his only appearance this season, I think.
He needs one of them alarms to Paul, do you know, that they're in bed so someone can come and help him up safely and transport him into the King Power, because the bloke is a calamity with injuries and all sorts, bless him. Don't know what's going on. But
Eunice trained again and got injured again, didn't he? So that's another one. I'd try McAteer there.
And McAteer's quite strong, I think. I think we need someone to. We can't just have two attacking midfielders play with Winks as the six. I think you do need a bit more robustness against certain teams, but I think McAteer can do that. I don't know. It's one of them. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to say is how crap was Joel Perreau.
It wasn't very good. But for all the chat of Ampadu and whatever, I thought Kamara was better than him, and I thought he was decent, but I didn't, you know, for everything I've heard about him, I didn't think he hurt us. I thought Winks had a better game. They're decent. Dan James still shanks a cross out every so often. And I think Somerville's obviously a very decent player. Rutter was good as well. But, I mean, they've spent a fortune on some of them, I think, haven't they? Somerville was a...
Well, Rutter was 35 mil.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you know, they've got more pounds on the pitch than us, so they should be really. I think that gets lost a little bit. Anyway, just to conclude, we were bullied by Leeds completely off the pitch. So, fuck me, honestly. The things people do for engagement.
You had to get that in, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It's going to be the title of the pod as well, George. So I'm not engaging with it, but I am just going to vent my fury at them because
I feel like last season you weren't this angry. You were more apathetic, whereas this season I like this.
I've got hope. Thorny, I've got hope, George. They've got me.
Thorny side to you. I like
got me by the short and curly, so I will defend. You know, when you believe in a side, you can defend it. But when you don't believe in a side, you've got nothing to defend, have you? So
very good point,
I am. I just wanted. It's not even really worth mentioning because it contradicts my earlier point that when you lose, it just highlights little things that if you'd have won, you'd have just glossed over.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought we really missed Callum Doyle on Friday night. Mm-hmm. It's no fault.
And Ndidi, big time.
Yeah, definitely. And it, I mean, it's no fault of James Justin's because he's right footed. But I mean, I thought he was pretty poor in general. But every time he has the ball, he has to come inside.
The only thing I think that if you cloned Doyle and Justin, you'd be because Doyle going forward is better than Justin, but Justin's one on one defending against the lead side with a lot of pace. I actually thought he dealt with that pretty well. It was more just on the ball and that. Why was he on free kicks at the end? He's never taken a free kick in his life.
That honestly, when that happened, I was like screaming, like, get him off it. Why is he taking it? He'd been terrible the whole game. And then he just whipped it out of play. But look, everyone's allowed a bad game. And JJ's more than good enough to play left back at this level, let alone in the Prem. So it was just one of those days for him. And it just underlined that, you know, it's a squad game and we missed Doyle. And the other thing that I know we mentioned, Fatuhu had got Byram spread out on a booking. I don't get, he might have been told, but I just don't get why we didn't just say, give him the ball.
Oh, no, I didn't get that either.
Lose it 9 times out of 10, but just get him off. And I know I've got a Boca Juniors top on and I'm talking like a South American, but get him off. I couldn't believe
we've had it a few times, haven't we, this season where we've had players on a booking early, usually in the fullback position, and then we've seemed to have a quieter second half with those players up against them. I don't get it because, you know, you should be building your whole tactics around exposing them. I mean, they people have done that enough to us in the past. They were doing it every game last season with the likes of Luke Thomas. But that was frustrating because I thought Fatuhu's second half was a much quieter than first half where he was so excited. I mean, that running shot would have just been, that goes in. I know it's easy to say that goes in and we win, but I genuinely think because of the way the game was with few chances, we would have won the game and we'd just be so... Well, there'd be absolutely no option but to think we're going to walk away with the league. Now there's that little bit that Leeds might still put the pressure on, which is good, probably good thing for us to be mindful of. But hopefully we regroup and Saturday we come out and show a bit more purpose going forwards. Because the last few weeks, I do feel like there has been a little bit of a drop off, which is understandable.
Yeah, you do need that competition and a bit of kick up the arse. I spoke to a Leeds fan before, and he said kind of regardless of the result, I think I'm right in saying that's their only clean sheet of the season away from home, which would be typical. But even if I'm wrong, he said they can't defend, and their games are too chaotic. So they lost at Stoke, I think week before or so. We just control so many games. We're not going to lose.
We even controlled that game, I thought.
Yeah,
like, we controlled it for large parts, didn't we?
And what's 11
points? Well, we were bullied. Sorry. Let's get back. Get that back.
Yeah. I mean, 11 points is an 8-game swing. We've got to lose 4 and they've got to win 4 to catch us already.
It's a lot. Although we have had 11-point gaps and we've completely fucked them up in the past. So they go a lot quicker than you think sometimes. But I do think there's a bit more about us than when we were in the Prem, and I think this sort of margin for error is a little bit greater, touch wood, but yeah.
And our manager's not 5'6" and Irish, Northern Irish.
No, he's about 5'10" and Italian. he looks wonderful in that tracksuit. Speaking of looking wonderful in attire, I managed to track you all down on Friday and give you some items that we have been gifted. Hashtag ad, hashtag gifted. Rick's just put it on, he's frozen. But we've been given
it's not strong.
some wonderful items from Footy Fits. Jordan, I've still got your t-shirt here because I couldn't find you, even though I sit closest to you in the ground. So
I hope it's Iheanacho's.
No, it's KDH's t-shirt. So the Footy Fits have done some Mavididi and some KDH attire, of which I obviously have the Mavididi t-shirt rather than the KDH one, because that would be completely off-brand. You've got, oh no, no, Jord. Yeah, you have. You've got the KDH t-shirt. Rick has the Mavididi beanie, and Jake has a KDH beanie. And we wonder whether that would fit your head, Rick, because we think you've got quite a large.
I have got big head.
It does look good on you.
It's a bit nip and tuck around the back, but yeah, it's quite nice. This will sort me out in the cold. And to be honest, even if I don't wear it, Oscar will, because his favourite player is becoming Mavididi because of the song. He loves it. So,
Good lad. I actually bumped into you in the toilet on Friday night, which was really exciting.
You did, mate?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I didn't shake your hand.
No. And I met your dad on the way. I saw Big John on the way in.
Yeah.
We were just shout out
to my dad, who he's been to Chutney Ivy, so he took him for a curry before the game. Managed to leave his phone there, so rings me at half time. Have you got my phone? No, I haven't, Dad. And he said, I think I've left it in the restaurant. Marches off to the restaurant, which was about to close. But thank you to Shaf at Chutney Ivy for looking after his phone for him. Highly recommend there as ever. I think that's the end of our commercial section. So there we go. We have had a Dear Ric Flair in this week, so should we play this one? Because it is related to the game.
Go on, then. I need somebody help, not just
anybody. Help. You know, I need someone. Ric Flair.
Right. Thank you to Ash for sending this in. I'll give it a play. I hope the audio quality is all right.
Right, lads. I've got a dear Ric Flair. Dear Ric, I've been to two games this season. The first one was Hull, and the second one was last night against Leeds. What would you suggest I do to get rid of this bad luck, this bad juju that I seem to be bringing to the KP? Or is it just a season-long ban and I should just bite the bullet and not go to the KP again this season? Any suggestions would be great. Keep up the top work, guys.
What was that at the end? I love that. Oh, I mean, this has actually happened to me a couple of years ago. I only went a handful of games, and I don't think I saw his win for ages. I'm thinking, rather than tell him to bollocks and ban him from Leicester for the season, I think we need to test something out. And I think he needs to go to a Leeds game and an Ipswich game, and if they don't win, then we know that he's doing God's work and he needs to go and watch them a fair amount of times this season and get the job done, get us promotion. So rather than focus on coming down the KP, go and create chaos with the enemies.
I would like to get a follow-up to Ash's message, just to let us know that he is all right, because it does sound like he's roaming the streets of Leicester at God knows when in the morning, wondering whether he's done something wrong. I hope you're okay, mate. Just let us know.
I like to think Ash has left the game on Friday, and he's on the way back from King Power, and he's thought, the first thing I need to do is voice note Ric Flair.
The timing.
That's how I view it.
The timing wouldn't actually, like when he sent it, wouldn't actually sort of disprove that. Disprove? Not. It would fit with that story, George. So I'm imagining him sort of 6 hours later just wandering the streets of Leicester, wondering what he's done. But
maybe he was on the way back from a night out.
And if you could let us know what that little noise was at the end, because I don't know what it was. It sounded like Rick's mate from Euston Station from a few weeks ago.
The pigeon whisperer he was.
Right, so he's got to go to a Ipswich and a
Leeds game. Yeah, go and watch them. Hopefully, get the defeats for them, and then we know we're onto something there. So rather than focus his energies and worry about coming and watching Leicester and at risk of losing, he could go and get the job done. Get Ipswich and Leeds a hammering. And then we're home and hosed. And then he can come and watch us when we won the league by Feb.
So obviously, he wouldn't get a Leeds ticket because they are massive and they'd take more. And there's no chance he'd get a ticket.
Well, I don't know if you won't have seen this, but Rick did point out that they weren't in the top attendances this weekend, which for a massive club.
They're an absolute myth. I mean, you know, they apparently win everything. They're the best at everything. How are they not even in the top seven? They're below Millwall.
I do enjoy that there's one bloke that's just responded being like, we didn't even play at home, you idiot.
But they're so big, they should be able to beam back the games to Elland Road and sell it out. Do you remember? Yeah. I used to love them beanbacks. Do you remember them?
Beanbacks. The Carlin stand.
Yeah, bring them back.
They should actually. Bring back beanbags. Right. I think we're moving on to any other business, which is Jordan's section. But I've actually got an intro for this because I've done one. So
here you go.
Can I finish speaking? Are you going to interrupt? Can I finish speaking? Okay, because I don't interrupt your question. Okay, so don't interrupt mine. Show some fucking respect.
There you go. For anyone that feels interrupted or doesn't feel like they can get everything off their chest, this is Any Other Business, which newly branded. Thanks, Phil, for the contribution. It's just a bit at the end. Show some. He bleeps himself. Like, show some respect.
Oh, was that not bleeped out?
No, that's what he says in the pre. He bleeps himself out when he says it.
Amazing.
I said Gary there. I meant in true Phil Neville style. Sorry, what's the section again? Because he asked for the question, didn't he?
Yeah. Very good, George. Well done. Well done.
I had two. One first one, and an apology on behalf of all of us. I noticed it when Union FS did it against Sunderland, and obviously I missed the last pod, and I probably should have put it in the WhatsApp group. But I can't believe we didn't mention Craig Shakespeare. So. Hope Craig Shakespeare gets well soon.
Yeah.
Well said, mate.
Huge, huge oversight from us, that was. And you know my other one because I put it in WhatsApp, but I would like us to share this on the Twitter page. There's a man on eBay, you may have seen it. He is selling three trophies, 94, 95, 96 playoff final trophies. And this rattles me because 94 I missed. 95 were obviously in the Prem, but 95, 96 was my first season watching Leicester. My first memory is Muzzy as its header at Vicarage Road, which Rick mentioned earlier, ITV. It used to be on ITV and Gary Newbon was the commentator, and I can still remember that.
Yeah. That cost me a quid to get in. Quid for kids.
Yeah. The days.
Yeah.
So that's why my cat's called Muzzy. But the guy wants 75 grand, right, for three Endley Insurance League playoff trophies. Now, I believe his description that it was obviously it was sponsored by Endley, and they just returned the trophies after the game, and they never went to the rightful club. Now, he says these should be in Leicester and Bolton Wanderers trophy cabinets. Well, why do you want 75 grand from them? But my plea is we need to get these trophies in the cabinet. 94 was the first ever trophy won at Wembley. 96 was the first trophy I ever saw us win. So I don't know how we do it, but we've got to do it. I mean, 50 grand to the club is fuck all. So they should be rightfully in the King Power Museum.
We should have told John Percy. Should have got John's plug it. Shouldn't we? Put a bit of pressure on the club at the next press conference.
it rattles me. It really does rattle me. I wonder how he's ended up with them, because he's not got the little lid. He's just got the trophy.
No.
The lid's got lost in transit.
I've lost it because Rick is sat there grinning with his little hat on, and he's just put in the chat Ensley Harriet. You could not look more pleased with yourself. It makes no sense. Good, but yes, Jordan. Right, sorry to go back.
But how do we do it? That's what I'm wondering.
Crowdfund. If every one of our listeners donated £1,000, we'd still be about.
We could do a chanceery.
Yeah.
And let's do that. We'll do a crowdfund, and then we will present them at the quiz. I'm going to come on stage with them in my Cameroon vest.
We need them somehow.
We need to get it back. We need to get them back. We need, like, starting a campaign. How do we get the Ensley trophy back?
Yeah,
this everyone in the King Power donates £2. We still need another £15,000.
Well, no, because we don't want Bolton's one, do we? They can have that.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Yeah, we can cut a deal.
But yeah. Okay. Like it. Okay. We're going to get it for the quiz, and that we should plug the quiz. Tickets are still available. Ooh. I've started writing the quiz actually. So there's 5 questions that have been written. So that's the start.
I think we've got our West Brom tickets earlier, Jack. So I'm just hoping to get there in one piece.
I'm going with you, even though we haven't spoken about this, but we are going to West Brom. So, which is exciting news. Anything from you, Brick, on...
What, any other business or the quiz?
Yeah. Both.
Well, so on the quiz, what's happening? Am I on a team on my own?
But I've got an idea, right? So we're going to do a round, and this is to plug the quiz. We're going to, and you're not going to know what it is, but you're going to recreate great Leicester goals celebrations, and people are going to have to guess what they are. So it's going to be like the pictory round. But I'm only going to tell you what they are before the show. And you can bring us in props. You can do all sorts. You can bring audience members in.
Brilliant.
So that's going to be a picture round.
Okay.
But we do need you to turn up, mate. Like, so
I'll be there. Could. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm ever present on everything, pal. Can't get rid of me. I'm sad. Got nothing else to do.
No, we wouldn't have.
I don't think I've got any other business, to be honest. No, I can't think of anything. Just very happy with John being on tonight.
I promised on Saturday night that I would mention congratulations to my friend Daniel Carvin, who got married. He used to be a Man United fan, and now he is a Leicester City fan, and I'd like to think that I had a part to play in that. But he also wanted me to mention the stag do in Lisbon last week, where we got evacuated from a bar because our friend set a fire extinguisher off.
Collymore.
I could only draw parallels with La Manga. And then on Saturday night, we ended up out in Hinckley for the first time in my life, even though I used to play for him. And obviously,
didn't tell me, mate. You literally were in my mate's coffee house and bar, like 10 seconds walk from my house. I can't believe it.
Well, I was going to.
I would have come out.
A wedding reception. I didn't want to repeat of the stag do, to be honest.
Well, you didn't want me there.
But yeah, we ended up in two rather choice establishments until 4 in the morning. And that was the first time I'd ever been out in Hinckley. So we'll have to do it again.
Definitely, mate. We're winks when we win the league.
Right, I've got something on Harry Winks, actually.
Oh, no. We nearly made it through the episode as well.
Right, so I've got a lot of time for Harry Winks. News reached me this weekend. Someone tweeted me on it directly, saying, and I've listened to it back, so I have verified it. There's a really good interview on the club's website with Harry Winks. And, you know, I love the man, but they've got it right. He openly admits that he's going to move to Nottingham. Now, there is, this still lingers around the club that we've got players, managers, all sorts. They're all moving to Nottingham. I can't press this button enough. I don't like it. Harry, if you're listening, you know, consider other parts of the county, you know.
Even Rutland.
Even Rutland. Rutland would be better. I mean, I've got a lot of time for Rutland. You haven't, Jordan, but
it's not Leicestershire.
You know, we've got good coverage of the south and west side of the county here. But, you know, the north parts of the county, also very nice. Round Woodhouse Eaves, lovely. I can't even remember the other names now, which is
Earl Shilton.
Earl Shilton, there you go. Barwell. There are lots of places, Harry, that are 20, 30 minutes from the training ground. You should consider others.
I knew Harry Winks was too good to be true. I should have known. But I'm too
people
old
just drag you in and then they let you down, don't they? It's just not very good. And exactly. I think that's why we lost on Friday, because he said that. And I would urge the club to edit that out, the footage, just because it's disappointing for all of us. But it's out there now, so we all know. But someone get in his ear and tell him that there's another way. I mean, stay in London if you want. So I'd rather he did that. That's more understandable.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Rick, thoughts? Because I know you get...
It's starting to warm me up. I'm on board with you. Why are they all moving there? Again, you know my thoughts on Seagrave with the injury record, but it's a real oversight because, you know, it's closer to Nottingham for ease of access, and they're all moving there. It's wrong. Gives out the wrong message. It really does. It puts me off my tee. It really does.
All right. It does. Any other business, or are we calling it there?
Final one from me. I will answer one, but Will Alves is back. Scored for the under-21s on Friday, and then sadly he got abandoned because our club doctor collapsed, sadly. I hope they're okay. I think they are. Alves, straight back, scored a goal. I've seen lovely it. Goal. Very, very lovely good. Goal. Lovely goal.
Also seen images of him in training, and he has been doing a lot of leg extensions. His VMO looks tremendous. So well done, Will.
What was that thing that football hipster said? His transitional IPA or whatever. Yeah. Will Alves has got that as well.
Verticality.
That's it, verticality. So, yeah, I think he'll play tomorrow night for the under-21s in the Papa John's or whatever it's now called against Fleetwood, and then get him on the bench for Saturday versus Millwall.
Get him in.
Millwall? What about Middlesbrough? Millwall?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right. Perfect. End it on a nice and positive. Really good to see him back playing. We're very excited about him. Right, chaps, thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening, listeners. See you next week. It's a Leicester Fiesta. Podcast Network.